Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us and being with us today for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And got a great show planned for you. I was explaining to our friends on KTTH, for those of you that don't know, the reason I'm always telling you what I'm telling the people on KTTH, for whatever reason, the way the programming works is we start the show on 770 AM right at noon sharp. And the show doesn't technically start until 12:03 on Cairo, just because the way the scheduling set up. So we got to do a little intro to the show for our KTTH audience. And then we switch over to everybody else and get the whole crew in here. So that's why the discrepancy. But no, we got a great show planned for you with one big caveat to throw in there. I am recording on Wednesday after the market close. It's about 3:45 in the afternoon. And I'm doing that because I'm packing up the tribe, packing up the kiddos and the wife, and we're heading to our annual family/golf tournament in Eastern Washington that we do with some of our friends from college, some of my buddies from college, their wives and kids, and that's always a great time that our kids look forward to. So I will leave the office tonight, and I will go home and pack for the rest of the evening to get in a car with three children under the age of 10. For a 4-hour car ride, right? Good times. No, we have a blast. Anyway, have a great show planned for you today. Plenty to discuss as far as markets go. Plenty to discuss as far as markets go. A lot of interesting stuff. I'm sitting here looking at the tape. So if I lose my attention, it's because I'm still watching what's going on. I should probably just turn it off. It's hard for me to focus. If stock quotes pop up on a screen, and you know what? Truthfully, it probably doesn't have to be stock quotes. If you put a graph up on a screen and it looks like a stock quote, I find that distracting because I'm a hardcore finance nerd, and I admit it. Anyway, we also have a fascinating interview, and this one, I am really interested to hear you guys' feedback on this interview because it's different. This one is not a money manager per se. He has run a hedge fund, but he is much more of a trader, and he doesn't even trade on the institutional level. He's running just family and friend money right now, but the reason, and the guy's name is Harris Cuppy. He's a guy out of Florida, and I started following him on Twitter. Actually, I think he followed me. And then I started following him, and he has had some remarkably prescient calls. One of the biggest that really caught my attention and made me want to have him on the show was he was screaming, and I'm talking adamant. And I got to tell you, at the time, I thought he was bloody nuts. But he was adamant. He was as bullish as you could be in the middle of March. And the other reason why I was impressed by that is it wasn't one of these Pollyannas on CNBC saying everything is fine. His argument for the bullish side of things was purely based on the fact that things weren't okay and that the Fed printing was going to just blow people's mind and that the government action was going to blow people's mind. And he was dead on the money. So anyway, it's an interesting take because he's clearly, and he's as sharp as they come. He does a lot of fundamental analysis. He's looking at value. He's looking at things. Anyway, it's a more relaxed interview, and I don't mean that in a good or bad way. It's just he's more of a laid back guy. He's from Florida. I love him. I think he's a fascinating guy. And I'm curious to hear what you guys' feedback are. So if you're listening to the interview, feel free to shoot us an email or follow up on text and or excuse me, not text, on Twitter. You can send me a direct message on Twitter. Just let me know what you think of it, and I'd be interested to hear the feedback because I was sitting there recording it and I was enjoying it because I think he's a fun guy to listen to. But I was just like, man, this has a decidedly different tone than a lot of our other interviews. I'm curious to hear what the listeners have to think. So anyway, Well, without further ado, let's get into the market update. As far as changing dynamics, like I said, I mentioned this to our KTTH listeners as well. We started the week off taking a bit of a pounding on Monday, and it really didn't concern us too much because, like I said, I think, and if you guys are like me, this was a very hard thing for me to accept in investing because we have this belief that markets are rational, or they're driven by rational belief, or they're driven by rational thought. They're driven by rational action. Like, one of the things that I have learned is when we add money or the possibility of making or losing money to large groups of people, expecting rational behavior is kind of ridiculous, right? We know that. And for those of you that have ever been in a scenario of a will or a trust based on the passing of a family member, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is amazing how rational thought, ethics, all that kind of stuff go out the window when there's a dollar on the table. And markets are the same way. So now I will say this. And I want to get onto more specific topics before I address the rest of this. But if you remember, you know, as much as 2 months ago, we were telling people that, look, we think very much this is a bear market rally. To a certain extent, I still think it is. Now, it's not going to fit the clinical definition of a bear market rally, but we still very much believe that, look, the market is pricing in right now. First of all, let me digress a little bit. I don't think the market is pricing anything in right now. I think that is the argument you're going to hear from people on CNBC because we have this ultimate belief that markets are rational, which is a complete misnomer. There's something out there called the efficient market theory that the markets are pricing all available data and that's the most accurate. It's complete nonsense. Okay, and the way you know it's complete nonsense is if prices were 100% accurate all the time, there would be no need for short sellers. There would be no way to outperform the markets because everybody has the exact same information at all times. Some people would underperform just because you can't help people from being dumb, right? They're going to do dumb things, like they're going to buy stocks that are in bankruptcy, believing that that's a value stock. And not understanding the way that the capital structure in a company works. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you guys remember Hertz, right? Hertz was going up, you know, 500-600% in a couple of days because it was bankrupt and people thought it'd get out of there. But once you looked at the bonds in Hertz, and remember, guys, bonds are the debt that a company has issued. So you looked at the bonds, the stock's going up 500-600%. You look at the bonds and the bonds are trading at 20 cents on the dollar. Okay, so what that tells you is the bond payers who have certainly done more homework than the Robinhood traders have, all right? The bondholders are believing now, and we always refer to fixed income or bond investors as smart money, and here's the reason why. You can buy a stock and get lucky and double your money. It can happen with a bond, But your chances are way worse. With a bond, typically the best you're going to do is the yield that that bond is paying. So what you're effectively looking at is a scenario. Let's say a bond's paying 6%. If everything goes perfectly, you're going to continue to get 6%. You're not going to wake up one morning and find out that your bond has gone from trading at 98 cents on the dollar to 180 cents on the dollar, right? So, I mean, unless you had a massive drop in yields, but we're at 0% yield, so that's not going to happen. You know, the Fed would have to drop rates like negative 10 or something like that. And I guess, you know what? Honestly, with this Federal Reserve, I shouldn't put it past them. Now, I'm joking. The whole financial system would cave in if you went significantly negative like that. But my whole point is that you knew through the capital structure and bankruptcy laws that these bonds trade, the equity was worthless because bondholders have a right, right? They've got a legal claim on companies' assets. Stockholders do not. You're owners of the company, right? So think about that. You're owners of the company, right? If Bulwark were to go down, I would owe any debts that were still associated with Bulwark. But meanwhile, the company isn't worth anything, right? I can't sell it. It's got no revenue. Now, hopefully that never happens. But so you see these people bidding up the stock. You look at the bonds trading at 20 cents on the dollar and you're laughing to yourself going, it's not that I think the stock is worthless. It is worthless. As it relates to the capital structure, the liabilities are significantly more than the value of the equity. All the assets are going to have to get liquidated to pay off the liabilities. There's nothing left for the stockholders. And some of them still made 300, 400, 500%. That's how crazy a market we're in. And so, we've got to pay attention to the fundamentals, but we also need to sit back and realize what is driving a market. And I've seen the emails that I've gotten, the letters I've written in, look, I can't convince people that don't want to look at reality, but if you sit back and look at this country right now, including the unemployment rate, well, the unemployment rate's going away. You got to keep dreaming. Okay. And I've said this before, but in 2009, the unemployment rate coming out of the financial crisis was something like 10.4%. It took till 2017 to get everything back on track. People go, well, that's different. The economy was healthy going. No, it wasn't. These companies that went bankrupt, guys, they went bankrupt because they had decrepit balance sheets. That doesn't happen to healthy companies. Okay, they're able to stomach a 3-month period of time where their revenues drop 50%. Go look at Bed Bath & Beyond for crying out loud, right? Bed Bath & Beyond is a bricks and mortar retailer. You couldn't get hit harder by this. They had a 50% decline in revenue. They made it through. It wasn't a fun quarter. They made it through. Why? Because they properly managed their balance sheet. They weren't levering up their balance sheet to buy back stocks, which is what happened to the airline companies. Now, was the economy bad? No, it was doing better than most. But this idea that we had this rip-roaring economy is complete nonsense. Well, what about record low unemployment rate? Again, let's dig in. Was employment good? Yes, it was historically good. But the number isn't really what it was, meaning that the employment numbers are very weird. Let's say we went through a recession and we had 20% unemployment. And let's say the economy did not grow. You didn't hire any more new jobs. You didn't fire anybody else. Everything stayed static for 10 to 12 years. Eventually, even if you hired no new jobs, eventually the unemployment rate would go back below 5%. Because as people expire after 2 years of not being employed, they get knocked off the rolls. They're no longer counted. So if you had record levels of unemployment, didn't hire anybody new, didn't fire anybody new, kept everything static, eventually the unemployment rate would go to zero. So the unemployment wasn't, and it's funny because it takes a while for it to reflect the reality. So the same people saying, oh, unemployment rate was so low. They're like, oh, well, the unemployment rate's only at 11%. No, it's substantially higher than that. It's going to take a while to factor everything in. Now, here's the other side of it. This crisis is not over. And I think a great way to look at that is to look at Levi. Now, this is one company, but you're going to see a lot more of this. I've got clients that own businesses. I'm just telling you, you're going to see a lot more of this. You've got Levi reported a 62% drop in revenue last quarter. Now, they know that that's not going to last, right? This quarter will be better because the economy's turned back on. Now, will they jump back up to where they were the previous year? Probably not. And if they do, it's probably a factor of pent-up demand, meaning people that wanted to buy Levi's that couldn't get down to a store in quarter two because everything was shut down. And they didn't want to buy them over the internet because they weren't sure which size would fit the husband, right? You guys know the game. And what they announced was, yes, we had a decline in earnings. Nobody was shocked by that. But they also said we're going to cut our workforce by 15%. So like we've said from the beginning, guys, it's going to take a significant amount of time for us to even know the full weight of what's happened economically. Now, if we look at markets right now, people go, well, markets know. And, the all-knowing market, right? It's looking through. Markets are priced in a quick recovery. No, they're not. Markets are responded to printing money. Okay, bottom line. That's it. And exuberance, right? We're 12 years in. People go, we're not still in a bull. The bull market ended. Look, the market was down for 5 weeks. It staged the fastest 50-day recovery in history. So to me, this is an extension of the same cycle. I don't see the bull market having ended there. And a new one started, we're back up to all, it doesn't work that way. This is an extension of the same market. So you've got the same bull market, longest in history, 12 years going on. Everybody has been trained that the minute stocks go down, you got to buy because stocks only go up. And then on top of that, the Federal Reserve pumping in the money by the bucket loads. The U.S. government running $7, $8, I think by the end of this year, you're looking at $9 trillion deficits, paying people more to be unemployed than they were making working full time. It is the greatest It's the greatest handout of money we've ever seen, of printed money. It's also the greatest transfer of wealth in human history. And what I mean by that is we all knew that we had a record wealth gap going into this thing, guys. But what happens when you've got 20% plus unemployment and the stock market rallies to new all-time highs? You want to talk about exacerbating the wealth gap? Okay, that's what's happening. And I think that that future, that is one of the things that concerns me going forward, is that that widening wealth gap, now we're beyond anything in the history of this country that we've ever seen as far as what the wealth gap is. We also, the concentration of wealth has gotten even more concentrated. So the top 1% own more than they did pre-coronavirus as a percentage of the overall, you know, asset markets. And it breeds social instability. That's just a historical fact. There's no way around it. So when you hear people talking about, well, the markets, you know, quick recovery, bounce back, look, it's nonsense. It's just, it's not going to happen. Will things get better? Sure. But what I think you're going to see is ebbs and flows. I think you're going to see periods of time where things look good. I think unemployment will be improving. And then you're going to go through periods of times, you know, and I'm talking about 2 months, 4 months, you know, where you'll see 2 months good, 2 months bad. You've done a lot of damage. The other reason why I don't think this is a quick recovery is this will be, I believe, the first recession on record where corporate debt actually grew. Consumer debt is still growing. So one of the benefits of recession is you clean out a lot of the excess and you burn off a lot of the debt, either by forced deleveraging, like through bankruptcies or foreclosures or things of that nature, or, you know, optional deleveraging, right? Where people just decide, hey, things don't look that great going forward. We better use some of our cash, pay down some of this debt, maybe refinance it. That's not happening here. Debt levels are climbing. Okay, what restricted growth over the entire economy? There's several things, but excess levels of debt were one of them. We're doubling down on that again. Okay, now that being said, am I warning you about an imminent market collapse? No. You know, and as somebody that has spent their whole life and their whole career focused on value and focused on being a disciplined investor, it's a tough pill to swallow. But that's, you know, that's one of the reasons we take the approach we do in the portfolios, guys, because on a valuation basis, this market should be 50 to 60% lower than it currently is. And that would not be extreme. Okay. You'd still be sitting at a, you know, 15 price to earnings multiple or a 16, right in line with long-term averages. Is the economy as in good a shape as it's been over the long-term average? Or is it close, right, to the long-term average of not even close? And it's not going to be close. And this is most likely going to take years to recover from. Does that mean that stocks can't go significantly higher? No, because what is driving them again is the printed money, and there's no expiry date on that, right? And not only do I think they're going to keep printing, they have to. We got to get rolling. It's time to, we got to take a quick break, but stick with us. And guys, as always, call us if you want to know how we're managing risk, if you want to know how we're lowering cost, increasing upside potential, and managing, most importantly, and I think this is going to be the most important thing over the next 2 years, unfortunately, it's managing that downside risk. If you want to know how we're doing that while lowering fees and actually increasing upside potential, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770, KTTH, and 97.3 Cairo FM.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can attend Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, July 25th. Zach, tell me all about it.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Don't miss the Know Your Risk Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, July 25th at 10 a.m. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll also get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Borrow Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It also allows you to stay in control of your care options, and maybe most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. Hey, it's Dory Monson. I highly recommend doing what my wife and I did. Learn about all the new long-term care plans offered by Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian has a live webinar coming up Friday, July 24th, at 9 a.m. All of Brian's live webinars are free to attend. He'll teach you everything you need to know about long-term care, including all the new plans that are available. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Brian's live webinar on July 24th is free. You'll also get a free copy of Brian's ebook, A Guide to Long-Term Care Planning. Brian keeps the live webinar class sizes small to allow time for Q&A at the end. It's a great learning environment. Space is limited, so sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And let's get into it here. Look, I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, yeah, gold, blah, blah, blah. That's why I believe gold's got to be a part of your portfolio. And it shouldn't be a huge chunk. But just you have to – when you look at what – they're not going to stop. They are going to print until something breaks. And if the market goes back down again, mark my words, the Federal Reserve will step in and buy stocks. So in that backdrop, is this insane what you're currently, if you're scratching your head going, this doesn't make any sense to me, you're not insane. You're not an idiot that just doesn't understand market nuance. It's not that you're missing the big picture like so many on CNBC will try to convince you that's the case. Well, markets price in the future. You know what? I heard that same nonsense at the top of every bubble. I had people telling me that at the top of real. Well, markets are pricing it in. Markets, it's complete garbage. It's complete nonsense. It's a fallacy that pros sell clients to get them to get off their back and shut up. Honestly, it's what it is. It's also a fallacy that pros sell themselves to make sense out of something that they can't wrap their head around. Well, the all-knowing market, it's complete nonsense. Right? Go to the height of the tulip bubble and tell me if the market had it figured out now. Oh, the market's smarter now. Okay, go to the height of 2007. Did the housing market? Go to this year, early February. China's getting locked down. 750 million people put on house arrest in the second largest economy in the world, and our market was hitting all-time highs. If the market was so good at seeing and discounting the future, where in the world was it in the first 2 weeks of February? Right. So what I'm saying is you cross out all these possibilities and you look what's left. What is the difference? The difference is government deficit spending and the amount of money that the Federal Reserve has printed. By the end of this year, we believe you're somewhere around, well, seven, you know, you're somewhere around 10 to 11 trillion this year. By the end of this year, I firmly believe that number is going to be north of 13. Let's call it 14. $14 trillion of printed money from the Fed and deficit spending from the U.S. government. That fills in a lot of holes, guys. That's 60 percent of the entire size of the economy. And that money's got to go somewhere. And you got a lot of people sitting at home on their smartphones, still unemployed with nothing to do, that still are getting these fat unemployment checks going on. And they're getting rich in speculative stocks like Tesla. And what I'm saying is I don't think the government can take their foot off the gas. And I don't think it's a political issue. I don't think any, regardless who wins the presidency in November, I'm just telling you, they're going to follow through with the same thing that's going. They're going to keep their foot on the pedal because they have to. If they pull back on the printed money, this whole thing goes up like a, it goes down like a house of cards. And what's interesting to me, when you see a stock run like this, especially in speculative stocks, gold is doing exactly what I would have expected, but I was kind of waiting with bated breath to see. Because a market that is this unhinged from reality, gold is a rational purchase. But the US dollar is really pulling back from its highs. And gold today broke above and stayed above 1800 for the entire trading day, finished right around 1820 an ounce. And it hasn't been this high in 9 years. And it's done it pretty convincingly. If you pull up a chart, I mean, it's just, you know, two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. Very rhythmic, very normal, not parabolic moves like we're seeing in a lot of these crazy stocks. And guys, again, you may be sitting at home going, I don't like gold. That's fine. I'm just telling you, I think it's going to be a big, big story over the next 5 to 10 years. We don't have a ton of it in our clients' accounts, but we have a big enough portion to make a difference. It's about I think overall our average client's got a 6, maybe 7% weighting to gold in their entire portfolio. Maybe more like 6. I think it's more like 6. But that's enough to carry a lot of weight. Our gold mining position, so we invest in gold mining companies because I've got a lot of experience in that background, spent a lot of time in that arena, know them very well. And the reason we use them is A, because they own the gold, meaning we're not betting on options or something like that where we come up empty handed. The companies own the gold. It's in the ground. It's in their vaults. It's getting ready to ship, right? They actually own the physical gold. And by being shareholders, we're effectively an owner of that company. And B, there's other people out there that say there isn't. And look, I don't disavow or debate their points. I'm not saying that miners, that this relationship between gold mining stocks and gold is absolute. What I am saying is people out there that are telling you, oh, you can't own gold miners. And Harris Cuppy, the guy we're having on the show, he disagrees with me. My personal experience and growing up around it, look, if gold goes up, miners have to go up. Now, you have to be selective which ones you own, because one of the other things people forget is that right now, I wouldn't own a gold miner that wasn't domiciled in the United States or Canada. And the reason for that is all of these government balance sheets are a mess, and you will see these governments step in and seize these gold mines at some point. Just like Venezuela seized the oil fields, right? And the oil pumping operations they had going on there. I believe it was a joint venture with Chevron, if I'm not correct. It was Exxon. Right? Chavez just stepped, you know, they'd invested billions of dollars, billions into Venezuela oil fields. Chavez just stepped in and took it. And that will happen with gold mining companies. It's happened in the past. But the reason we like them is we get a levered relationship, meaning that as gold goes up, typically the relationship between miners and gold is 4-to-1. So you get a 25% move in the price of gold. Our gold fund that we own is a perfect example. Gold's up about 25, 26% on the year. Our gold miner position is up 100% this year. Now, that's not our whole portfolio. I mean, if I go back in time and make it, that would be it. But 100%. So gold is going to be a big story going forward. Silver is showing signs of life. And, you know, honestly, when I'm looking at this marketplace, we have to be invested, even if we know it's funny business, because like I said, there's no expiration date on how long the Fed can print. There's no expiration date. There's no limit. And we should all know this. Is there a limit on the insanity of Washington, D.C.? Of course there's not. You think, I was talking to a client the other day, and he goes, look, I've got confidence we can get things back on the right track. And I said to him, I go, you're not paying attention. And we're in too deep. You can't balance the budget. It would be too big of a hit to the economy. That would be the depression. As a matter of fact, if you were to balance the budget right now, it would be a bigger hit to the economy than the financial crisis. And that's not my opinion. That's the data. So these guys can't stop, and they're not going to. The only thing that's going to stop them is currency devaluation that gets out of hand. And what I mean by that is inflation, because the only way to fight inflation is by raising interest rates. Okay. What do you think happens if you rapidly rise interest rates in an effort to fight inflation in an economy that's loaded down with record low interest rate debt? Right? That will be the depression. So truthfully, is this out of hand? It's nuts. I mean, look at Tesla. We've talked about it a lot. Tesla is now worth $260 billion or $20 or $30 billion more than Toyota. Tesla's market cap is equal to 30% of all auto manufacturers in the world. Now, the Tesla fans think that's a good thing. They're like, oh, it's going to 2,000. It's going to 3,000. Guys, they've never turned a profit. They sell 400,000 cars a year at a loss. And more importantly, they're not even growing. Their deliveries year over year are going to be flat. People are like, oh, that's because of COVID. Well, they've had an excuse every quarter. And truthfully, I don't believe the numbers that they issued this quarter. I think they're fraudulent. Now, I could be proven wrong. I also thought Tesla was insane at $500 a share. So take that with a grain of salt. But I'm just saying, you can think whatever you want about the stock. If you know anything about analyzing securities, you'll be honest enough to admit that there is absolutely zero tether between Tesla and reality. And they're not even the worst offender. I could go on for this for 2 hours. Wouldn't you guys like to hear that? Anyway, so, but getting back to this, guys, if you want to know why we're focused on risk management, if you want to know why we use an algorithmic strategy that was only down 7% or 6.5% when the market was down 36, but actually outperformed the market last year, I got to avoid direct percentages. If you want them, I can share them with you and send the fact sheet, but I don't want to get in trouble with regulators here. And is now up on the year. Right. So it's outperforming the S&P by, I believe, about 8%. Why do we use that? Because it's got automatic risk mitigating factors in. When things start breaking apart, it sells them out. Why do we have the value portfolio? Because we hedge it. We were down about 14% in that when the market was at its lows, down about 36. So that held in really well. We've got gold in the value portfolio. It's about even right now. Might be slightly up after today, but it's about even with market performance. But it's even with market performance. But remember, we were only down 14 when the market was down 36. These are what you should be looking for in retirement. How do we maximize gains without exposing you to the catastrophic losses? Right. One of the ways is through those two portfolios. The other way is through our bond replacement strategy that's been averaging 5 to 6% a year as an insured against loss without any fee. Last year, they were up double digits because they go up when the market goes up. Market goes down, then you're insured against loss. You don't get all the market performance. That would be too good to be true. But you typically get 40 to 50% of it. And the whole point is that if you look at historical market performance, right? You know, you're talking about 11.5% market performance over the last 90 years. Well, what's 40 to 50% of that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a heck of a lot more than you're making in your bond fund, right? So all of these things together, this is this risk mitigating factor. This is how we can generate. And guys, by the way, and I've said this a million times and I'll keep saying it. If you are in a 60-40 or a 70-30 or a bond stock type portfolio, for crying, call us, okay? It's killing you. And it's going to keep killing you going forward. You're going to get smashed in the downturns. You're not going to make near enough in the up years. It's going to be, go look at your performance over the last 20 years. It's dreadful. If you got a 60-40 stock bond portfolio over the last year, over the last 20 years, you've averaged about 5% net of fee returns. 5%. Meanwhile, you're getting washed out by 25 or 30 every single time the market takes a dive. It's crazy. So if you want to know more about that risk management strategy and how we protect ourselves from this insanity, yet still benefit from it. Like I said, our stock portfolios combined, they're positive on the year. They're beating the S&P 500. Yet they were only down 9 when the market was down 36. Call us, guys. There's a better way. You don't have to keep making 2% on your bond portfolio and watch the bloody thing drop 15 to 20% every time the market takes a dive. There's a better way. And oh, by the way, our average client's paying less than 0.75% a year. There's a better way. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Get our free investment booklet, Common Sense Investing. You can follow me at KYR Radio on Twitter. Anyway, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can attend Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, July 25th. Zach, tell me all about it.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Don't miss the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, July 25th at 10 a.m. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll also get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And let's get into it here. Do you know of anyone that ran a portfolio that beat the market, and we'll just put it this way, beat the market by more than 5% last year, was down 7% or 6.5% at the market bottom this year when the market was down 36, and is now up 4% on the year? Do you know of a portfolio? I don't either. That's why we use it. And I wish I could tell you it's because I didn't even design the algorithm. Marco did. We're going to have him on next week, like I was saying. And I got to be honest with you, it intimidates me as an investor because I see some of the moves this thing has done. I see the performance it stacks up, and I'm like, that's, wow. It's hard to keep up with. And the portfolio I'm managing is doing pretty good. We're beating the S&P 500 this year. We were down a fraction as much as at the lows as the S&P was. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that it's not like we're dragging, you know, it's not like we're having a bad year either. I'm just telling you, the thing is brutally hard to keep up with. And if you don't have an algorithmic portion of, should you put all of it in there? No, we need diversification. And more than just diversification of asset classes, we need diversification of styles. Because different things work in different environments. And what's the point of retirement? The point of retirement is productivity off of your capital. And we need it on a fairly regular basis. So Marco and I were having a conversation earlier today. We were saying, look, if you're a client in retirement, you can't afford to stick to your guns for 10 years, right? And if we were value only for the last 10 years, this record underperformance of value, it's lasted 10 years now. If we were value only that entire time, we'd have a lot of clients that, hey, they believe in the approach. They know we're being disciplined about it. We're not cowboys. We're not doing anything that's putting them at risk. But the bottom line is who can afford a decade of that huge of underperformance? And I'm talking like 250, 300% underperformance when you compare value to growth. It's startling. But that's the problem. With those more growthy stocks, you never know when the bottom's going to fall out. Well, there you go. There comes the algorithm. Why do I say that? Because the algorithm's really got two algorithms. It's got another algorithm that acts as a stop loss below every single stock in the portfolio. And the minute that stock and what that stop loss line means, and that stop loss line is different for every single stock in the portfolio. Some stocks, it will allow them to lose, you know, go down 20, 25%. That is typically only after a stock is up really big. But the computer is looking at that and it's adjusting the stop losses. And so what that line represents is the price that that stock would have to hit to where it no longer fits the computer's definition of momentum. And that's why it was only down 6.5 in that 5-6 week blitzkrieg sell-off we had. And then you flip around and it's up 4% on the year. So, you know, you can't, It's really hard to do that. It's really hard. There's just not a lot of managers out there that were up better than 5% over the market this year, are beating it by 9% this year, and we're only down 7% when the market was down 36%. I mean, just listen to that. Now, is that a guarantee it happens every single time? No, but the way the algorithm is built is, I think your biggest risk with the algorithm is underperforming for a period of time, not a ridiculously long period of time. Because the way it's constructed is, if everything caves in, it's going to sell out those positions automatically, right? So when the big drop finally comes, the algorithm will be fine. Maybe it loses 10% or 11% this time, but it's not going to kill you, right? Like I said, it was down 6.5% when the market was down 36% in the most violent, volatile sell-off in market history. It's a pretty good stress test, right? The odds that we get a bigger, harder sell-off than that are almost nil. And the reason for that is you have market circuit breakers that stop it, right? We triggered several of them during that catastrophic sell-off that lasted 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And I'll just tell you too, from the management side, just 100% transparency, it is such a load off my shoulders, because again, it is unemotional. It's rules-based. And it's picked out some incredible winners. I think I've told you this in the story before. There was a day we walked in here to the office, and it was one of the days where the Dow was down 10%. And I opened the portfolios right after market open. I opened the portfolios, pull up the value portfolio. It was hedged. I think it was down like 1.5%. Wasn't too bad. And I was like, okay, that's good. We'll take that. Then I flip over to the momentum portfolio, and I'm kind of nervous. And the momentum portfolio was up 0.2%. The Dow was down 10. It was up 0.2. And I hit refresh because I was like, there's something that's got to be wrong, right? They can't be right. The Dow's down 10% for crying out loud. Hit refresh, sure enough, 0.2. Pull up the underlying securities, and in the portfolio, I see something I've never seen before. It had two stocks on the same day that were both up more than 80%. One was up like 82. I think one was up like 86. And like I said, I've never seen it. I've had stocks go up 80% in a day, maybe even higher. Maybe I had a stock double once. I think we had a junior miner company that had really good results that doubled once in a day. Fun day. But never two, right? I mean, just think about the weird circumstances that would have to come together to allow two stocks to be up 80% in a single day. So I call Marco, the portfolio manager of the algorithm, the guy that built it, and he started laughing, and he goes, you know, the algorithm added those stocks a week ago. This is what he was saying to me at the time. And he goes, at the time, I kind of chuckled because I had no clue what the companies were. I look into it, and he goes, they were two N95 surgical mask makers. Now, did the algorithm realize that we were in the middle of, no, it didn't know that there was a virus. It didn't know that we were in the middle of a pandemic. It didn't know that people would need to buy masks. It didn't know that. What did it know? It saw an unusual amount of buying and a breakout on the price of both of those stocks, so it hit them. Right? Who else had the frame of mind to pull that trigger in that market? I didn't. As a matter of fact, everybody's all caught up with Zoom Technologies. I've got an embarrassing story for you. We bought Zoom Technologies right at the beginning for $1.02. I sold it for $1.13 because I thought it was a quick pop and I thought everything else was going to go down. Meanwhile, 2.5, 3 months later, Zoom stock would get 260. So we had the right one. We picked it, collected an 11% profit on it in the midst of that chaos, and cashed it in. The algorithm stuck with it. Why? It didn't buy Zoom. It bought Teladoc, another company that's gone up virtually just as much. But having that aspect in your portfolio is absolutely necessary. Think about it. We're relying on computers to drive our cars, for crying out loud. Why in the world do you think that you don't need that in your investment portfolio? You do. And it's transformed the way that we manage money. And if you want to know more about it, we can give you the fact sheet. I can give you all the data. We're going to have Marco on next week. Heck, I can even get you on a conference call with Marco and we can walk through it with you. But there's a better way. And we're sitting there right now. Our average client is sitting on a slight gain for the year, I believe. They were down 6% at the market. But there's a better way, guys. I've been on the radio now 5 years telling you there's a better way. There's a better way. Give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bohrcapitalmanagement.com. Get our Common Sense Investment booklet that talks about our bond replacement strategy. That is legit. I told you guys a story about the client of mine that wanted to cash it in. He was up 30 0.7% in his bond replacement strategy that's insured against loss with no fee. Gospel truth, 30.7%. I'm not saying all of our clients are up that much over the last 4 or 5 years. I'm just, a lot of clients have had similar results. We'll put it at that. But he's up 30% while being insured against loss, not paying a fee, you want to cash it out. If you want to know what that is, get our Common Sense Investment Booklet. But inform yourself. Take the 3 minutes to call us and get some information, find out about the algorithm, find out about the value portfolio, find out about the bond replacement strategy, how we drastically increase your upside while lowering your risk and significantly reducing your fees. It's real. Educate yourselves. Be in the know. Anyway, we got to run. When we come back, we're going to just get the start of it. But the start of our interview with Harris Cuppy, trader down in Florida, funny guy, smart guy, great market insight, and made the call to buy there at the market bottom that impressed me. And I think you guys will enjoy it. So anyway, have a wonderful weekend. And we will be back next week. As always, enjoy the interview. And we'll catch up with you next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can attend Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, July 25th. Zach, tell me all about it.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Don't miss the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, July 25th at 10 a.m. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll also get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Forward Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back, and thank you so much for sticking with us. And we're going to get to my favorite part of the show, the interview part, where I'm sure you guys feel the same way. You had enough listening to me blow hot air into the mic. But got a special guest on. We wanted to have on for quite some time. And he's had some really interesting calls this year. He's had some great calls this year. And want to just get his take on what's going on. Obviously, this is a very interesting market environment. So without further ado, want to introduce you to Mr. Harris Cuppy out of Florida. He's been kind enough to join us on the podcast today. Harris, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. So we get in here, and I've followed you for a while on Twitter. And for those of you who don't know, you can follow him at H Cuppy, K-U-P-P-Y. On Twitter, and one of the guys, I don't follow a lot of people. I think my total followers is about 250, 260. Tend to focus on the guys that are actually making calls, putting themselves out there, bringing forth research. You do that. And before we even get it, look, you have become, whether you like it or not, Mr. Tanker. So we'll cover that. And I know you don't like it. It's just a position of the portfolio, but it sure seems to have captured a lot of attention. But there was a part this year, right around March, where I thought you were patently out of your mind. You got all bulled up when it looked like, well, look, we by far the most violent, quickest onsetting economic crisis in U.S. history. Markets acted accordingly. And you were one of the first guys there at the bottom. It was you and Jimmy Jude, the Florida contingent I'm referring to you guys as. you got all bulled up. You got all bulled up on stocks when everybody was saying the sky was falling. And I'm one of them. I didn't cash out. We held our high conviction positions, and I thank God we did. But just walk me through that. Walk me through why you were one of the first bullish voices that really got fired up and was extraordinarily animated about it and didn't shy away from it. What did you see? And just kind of walk me through your process during that period of time and where that, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back where you said, okay, it's go time now. You got to ignore the fear and go in there and buy with both hands.
Well, I mean, just for some backstory, I've been doing this for over 20 years. I've seen up markets, I've seen down markets, and I've seen a lot of in between. And, you know, I know that you want to buy them when they're down. You don't want to be buying them when they're going up. You know, who wants to overpay? So I always sit there with a bunch of extra cash and a bunch of liquidity, and I wait for things to happen where I can have a differing view. You know, a lot of people say they're a contrarian, and I'm an actual contrarian, not just one of those contrarians who, you know, does the same thing that everyone else does. yeah, you know the joke. I'm a contrarian just like all my friends.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah, 100%.
So, you know, when the market was falling apart, I was looking at it and saying, you know, a lot of these stocks, if you look at the overall market, you know, it was making new highs in January, but a lot of the smaller companies, which is where I focus, because that's where the most opportunity is, I mean, they've been declining really for 2 years now. I mean, a lot of them started the year down half already from the peak. So they were quite cheap. And, you know, as the COVID crisis got worse, a lot of these stocks just got destroyed. I mean, a lot of them dropped another half or more. I mean, the Russell 2000 was down by half.
Right.
And, you know, small caps tend to be down by more. So I was looking at this and I'm just saying, you know, how bad could it be? I mean, start plugging in some numbers. At the time, everyone thought that this thing was, you know, really going to kill a lot of people. And, you know, people were saying, oh, there might be a
million
dead people.
All right, guys, as always, due to time constraints, we got to cut this off. You can get the remainder of the interview, which is funny, insightful. I suggest you do it. You can go to mynorthwest.com. You can Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. You can Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast Stitcher. You can get, we're going to post it next week on my Twitter page. You can find it everywhere. Hopefully you listen to the rest of the interview, because I think there's a lot of good, valuable stuff in there. And he's a really smart guy with a really interesting take on markets. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And as always, we've got our roadshow, our webinar coming up on July 25th. We condense our whole message and our whole planning process down into a 30-minute presentation. Don't forget to sign up for that and give us a call if you want to do a phone consultation. If you're weirded out by calling, you can email us. Go to knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, or call us at 866-779-RISK. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.